Good to have you with us this morning. If you are here for the first time in a while, which is possible, if you've been watching online, you know that we are in a series called Snapshots, and we're taking a look at the small, short books of the Bible in the New Testament. So we have dealt with Philemon, 2 John, today is 3 John, and then the next 2 weeks we're going to take Jude. We're going to split it, the first 16 verses, and then from verses 17 to 23 for the next week. And then I want to start a new series with, it's called Seven Cancers. The first sermon out of that is Whatever Became of Sin. And then Father's Day, and I think we got a really special Father's Day plan for you. And we'll be back to one service that day for that day only. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about the men who have said they would participate. And then we're going to go back to the series on seven cancers. And after that, I'm seriously thinking of doing, after seven cancers, looking at eight cures. That's possibly where we're going to go. I'm not really sure yet, but that's where I think I'm going to head. So if you have a Bible or a tablet or a phone, if you go to 3 John, now in case you don't know where that is, go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and go back to Revelation, then Jude, and then 3 John, and you'll find it there. It is not John 3. This is 3 John. And so I'm going to read all of that. It's a real short chapter. There's only 15 verses there, and then we'll get started. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was overjoyed when brothers came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brothers and sisters, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may prove to be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with malicious words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brothers either, and he forbids those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does what is good is of God. The one who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we testify too, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I don't want to write to you in pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Let's pray. Father, please open your word up to us today. Help us to see the truth that is there. Help us to see how important it is that we be people who say or who practice what we say. Lord, as we look at these three men, I pray that you'll help us to look within ourselves, to ask ourselves to be honest with ourselves, and to take stock where we are. I pray that your word will come alive in us, that your spirit will work through your word to teach us. And then I pray, Father, that as I bring the message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside, and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only, for it's in his name I pray. Amen. One of the abilities we have today is called photoshopping. And I know most of you know what photoshopping is. It's this ability to take what is there and change it. For example, we see it a lot with models, especially on magazines. You know, they take a pimple out of here, a freckle out of here, a hair out of place here, crow's feet are gone, you know, dimples are gone unless they are really attractive, and extra skin is taken away. Photos can be altered and edited to be the way we want them to be. There is one thing that every one of us, though, carries with us. It is an invaluable possession that we all have. It goes with us no matter where we go or what we do. The book of Proverbs speaks of it. Our everyday interaction speaks of it. And amazingly, it also goes where we don't want to go or where we haven't gone. You know what I'm speaking about? Your reputation. We will often say, your reputation precedes you, meaning what is coming is, I already know what you're like. Charles Spurgeon was a British preacher back in the 1800s. He was called the Prince of Preachers, and he made a quote, and it's a long quote, but it is so powerful and so good that I wanted to give it to you this morning. The eagle-eyed world acts as policeman for the church. It becomes a watchdog over the sheep, barking furiously as one goes astray. Be careful. Be careful of your private lives. And I believe public lives will be sure to be right. Remember that it is our public life that the verdict of the world will very much depend. Read that slowly on your own, and you will see the truth of that. In other words, people will make judgments not by what we are inside, but by what? What they see, what they observe, our public lives. And the church is no different. The third book of John is a book where John writes a letter, and he gives us the example of three different men in this book. And so I want to take you through these three men because they all give us a different perspective on reputation. And so I want to look at it as 3 John, three men, three reputations. Okay? It's going to be a simple outline, simple sermon. So, but I hope that you will walk away saying, oh yeah, I need to take a check on myself. So let's first of all talk about a reputation of encouragement. Now, John writes in verse 1, you can see there, to the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. We do not know who Gaius is. That was one of those names that was very common in that day. It's kind of like Bill or Tom in our day and age. You know, it seems like you meet more people who have that name than just about any other name. And so Gaius was a very common name, but what we do know is that he was involved in the church. Now, the writer of this book is John the Apostle, and he calls himself the elder. Now, back then, an elder not only was not so much the leader in a church, although he became a leader in a church, but as an elder, it also meant that he was an older man. John, about this time, was in the 80s and 90s, somewhere in there, as he's writing this book. And so he is coming to them as an older man, and he's writing this letter. This word, elder, carried with it respect and authority and integrity. So John is writing this letter as a man who has the authority and a man who has the integrity to write what he does. Again, it's not important who Gaius is. What is important is what John said about him. So let's look at two things that John says to Gaius. Number one, he tells him he's praying for his health. You can see that in verse 2. He said, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. Now, when we read that, in our day and age, we often think, oh, health must mean physical. But when you prayed for someone's health, it meant more than just physical health. It also meant spiritual health. It meant mental health. And so what John is saying is, I am praying for you, Gaius, as a complete individual. I want to see you prosper. It's interesting, he uses the word beloved there. It is used four times in this book. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 5, and verse 11. And he calls, he uses this idea of Gaius as the beloved. And so John is preaching a prosperity of the soul, not a prosperity of the world. Number two, he was thrilled about the report that he was hearing. For I was overjoyed, he says in verse 3, when brothers came and testified to your truth. That is, how you were walking in truth. And then, spoken like a parent, John says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. John was bursting at pride at this good report that he was hearing about Gaius. So what exactly was this report that he was hearing? Well, first of all, he was hearing that Gaius was walking in the truth. But if you carry it on a little bit further, let's keep on reading in verse 5. He says, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. Back in those days, there were two groups of people who did ministry. One were called the pioneers, and one were called the settlers. Now, the pioneers were those who would go in, and we would call them evangelists, we would call them missionaries. They would go in, and they would establish the church. They would get it started. But then, once that was done, they pioneered somewhere else. They left and went somewhere else. John says Gaius accepted those people, but the second group of people were called the settlers. These were the people who stayed in the church. These were the people that when the pioneers left and established church, they stayed behind and settled the church and helped it to grow. Gaius was one of those who settled in this church, and he was responsible for bringing these people in and accepting them. I mentioned last week that one of the responsibilities of the early church was to practice hospitality. In other words, when they traveled around, it was hospitable for a person to open their home up, to feed them, to give them a place to sleep, to lodge, and then send them on their way the next day. And so that was a cultural thing, and John was commending Gaius for doing just that. Now, there are some people who close their doors when anybody comes by. You know that as well as I do. But John was commending Gaius because he was hospitable. But there are three reasons why this is special, and you can see these in verse 7 and 8. Number one, they went out for the sake of Christ. You see that? They went out for the sake of the name. In other words, they went out not for their own glory, not for their own fame, but because they had a calling to take the message of Christ. The second thing he says is that they accepted nothing from the Gentiles. In other words, they took no compensation. They didn't ask for the Gentiles to pay, or wherever they came from, to pay their way. They went out and they did their work without getting paid for it, or expecting to be paid. And then the third thing he says is that therefore we ought to support them because they have proven to be fellow workers with the truth. I want to stop here for a moment and I want to ask you a question. How many of you like to be encouraged? We all do, don't we? All right. Notice what Gaius's main emphasis was. He was an encourager. So, as you like to be encouraged, what's next? You should also encourage others. How long has it been since you took a moment and you encouraged somebody? How long has it been since you wrote a note to somebody or picked a did a text or an email to somebody and said, hey, I just want to let you know I appreciate you. I appreciate all you've done. We have teachers every week in the back who teach. How long has it been since you said thanks for watching my child or for giving us the freedom to worship? How long has it been? Be an encourager like Gaius was. Now, the next man that we're going to talk about has a reputation of harm. And what John does here is he flips the switch. You know, he spent the first, well, let's say first eight verses praising Gaius, encouraging Gaius, saying good things about him. Now, watch verse 9. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. So you see this, the flip of the switch? We've gone from encouraging, and now John has to say, but there's somebody in your fellowship who's causing problems. And the problem comes down to this man, Diotrephes. And as I studied, there were several different ways people looked at him. I don't know that any of them are right, more right or more wrong than others. One of them said he was a man with a harmful agenda. One of them said that he was a man who loved the preeminence. One of them said he was a man who loved making trouble. Another one said he was a dictator. None of those sound good to me. I don't know about you, but none of those sounds like something that I ought to emulate. And what is funny, is not funny, is that John takes him to task. There are times that we sometimes have to take people to task. And John wasn't going to be playing around. He has sent a letter to the church. He has commended and encouraged Gaius. But there was one man in the church who was causing an issue. And his name was Diotrephes. Now notice what he says about him. He says, first of all, he loves to be first among you. The Greek word there, and we're going to see what he says about Diotrephes. Number one, he says his personal ambition is evident. He wanted to be first. The Greek word that's used there is a word that means first love. In other words, he was self-centered, he was selfish, and he was self-seeking. So that basically says he wanted his own way. Now, when I say he, there are also churches where women do the same thing, where they have the power struggle as well. They want to be number one. They want the prominence. You didn't do what I wanted to do, and they cause problems. But the Greek also shows us that this is a consistent pattern in Diotrephes' life. This was not a one-time shot. This was something that they saw over and over and over and over again. So John's confronting a man who has a history of being a troublemaker. And he wants his own way. But then there's a second thing he says of Diotrephes. He says his actions were distorted. Verse 10, it says, for this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does unjustly, accusing us with malicious words. And not satisfied with this, it says, he himself does not receive the brothers either. So there's two problems here. Number one is Diotrephes, because he wants to be first, is malicious in his words. He's hateful, he's spiteful, he's proud, he's pompous, he's arrogant, and he wants to be first. But look what else he says. He doesn't accept the brothers. So while Gaius is sitting there going, come in here, come to the church, come fellowship with us, open my home up to us, Diotrephes was saying, not a chance. Because he wanted prominence, he caused trouble. And the church had difficulty separating themselves from Diotrephes and his pompous, arrogant ways. whenever you have somebody in a church who is strong, who is heavy-fisted, can I use that word, heavy-handed? Whenever you have a person like that, they will always want their way. If you don't do what they want you to do, they will make your life miserable. I'm going to say this. If you have a friend or you know of somebody who is in a church where that is taking place, tell them to get out. Because they will not grow. Diotrephes wanted to be first. I'm going to say this really clearly, I think. The church, small c, the church was never intended to be someone's bully pulpit. The church was never intended to be where someone reigned supreme and told people what they could do and what they could not do. And if you didn't agree with them, hit the road. My encouragement is, if you have somebody in a church like that, then tell them to hit the road on their own. All right, but let's get away from Diotrephes. He's a downer. I just as soon forget Diotrephes existed, but every church has those kind of people. Let's talk about the third man that's mentioned here. His name is Demetrius, and you will see that he has a reputation of a good testimony. I think it's refreshing after reading Diotrephes to go to Demetrius, because it says Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. Before that, notice what John says. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. In other words, don't follow someone like Demetrius' footprints. Be different. Don't let them bully you into mistreating people, taking sides, and saying, we're right, you're wrong. Don't follow those people. He even says that. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Because the one who does what is good is of God. And the one who does not, does what is evil, has not seen God. So we bring Demetrius into the picture. Unfortunately, Demetrius is like Gaius. His name is so common, we don't have any other clue who he is. He could have been a local guy. He could have been Paul's emissary. He could have carried, John's emissary. He could have carried John's letter to the church. Nobody really knows, but there are three things that John says to Demetrius that I think are worthy to look at. Number one, everyone who knew him vouched for him. What a testimony. Everyone who knew him. And he says, beloved, or Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. His reputation was so well known among the Christian community, the people regaled him. They loved him. They vouched for him. And they talked about his character. Number two, his life lined up with the truth. You see what it says there? And from, got to get good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. Here's the point that I think we need to look at. When someone talks about you, and I don't mean maliciously, but someone talks about you, can they say that you lived as you spoke? To me, there is no greater compliment than the day that I breathe my last breath and they have some kind of service, if they do that, that someone would stand up and say, he lived what he said. He practiced what he preached. That's what they said about Demetrius, is that he lived the truth. And so if the truth is here, when you saw Demetrius, he was the same all the time. He lived the truth. And there's a third thing he says, John says about him, and that is he received John's personal stamp of approval. Notice that he says, Demetrius from the truth itself, and we testify too, and we know that our testimony is true. So John is basically saying, hey, his reputation stands. And what I have to say about Demetrius is worth its weight in gold. The example of Demetrius's character, please hear this, is that a man's worth can be measured by his reputation. In the community, in the church community, in his faithfulness to the scripture, and his opinion of other godly people. It's important that we have a reputation that stands. We have a reputation that stands under scrutiny. So there are three men there. First of all, we saw Gaius was a man of encouragement. So let me challenge you this week. Find somebody you can encourage. Words, actions, typing it in an email or texting it. Tell somebody this week. Encourage them. Number two, don't be like Diotrephes where you have to have the prominence and the preeminence and everything. Remember, everybody has other thoughts besides you, and you and I are not the only ones that are right. And number three, remember, as Demetrius, that we have to have a good testimony. So when people talk about you, will they be able to say, he lives what he teaches. She lives as she preaches. That's a simple question. So let me ask you a question. Which of these three are you? Which of these three are you? Are you an encourager? Be one. Are you seeking to be first? Stop it. And are you seeking then to have a testimony that is true and real? Continue it. That's my challenge for you, for me this week, is that we be people who say what we mean, live what we say, and become encouragers. Let's pray. And Father, I thank you so much for this day you've given to us, and I thank you for the love that you have given to us. And Lord, I thank you that we can learn from three people who lived so many years ago and yet can show us how we should be as well. Help us to be encouragers. Help us to be not to be people who seek prominence, and then help us to have a good testimony among those that we come in contact with. Use us this week, Father, when we go to work, when we go to school, even though school's out, there are some who are still going to be around their fellow students. When we go home, when we go play, when we go for our teams, I pray that you'll help us to be the people who set an example for you. Go with us this week and please keep us safe. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hang on a minute. Got a visitor. Come on in. I saw her back there and I saw her disappear. And I thought, no, you can't disappear. This is Ariana. Isn't she cutie? I had a chance to hold her, so na-na-na-na-na-na. This past week, I had a chance to visit and had fun, and she's just a beauty. And look at the hair. That's what I'm really jealous of. Right? Yeah. She was smiling at me earlier. But thank you, Christine. Isn't she cute? Yeah. Well, I'm now letting you go on your way, and is it okay for them to stop by and say hi to you, Christine? Okay. All right. You can stop by and say hi to the baby. Oh, yeah, while you're there, say hi to Christine, too. So have a good week. Thank you.